Good afternoon. You're listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM. I'm William English, and today's guest is Seekers of Lice. Good afternoon, Seekers.
Hello.
I suppose, first of all, we should work out this name. You are called Seekers of Lice, but there is only one of you.
That's right, yes.
I had sort of anticipated a group of people operating under the name Seekers of Lice, but you are just one individual.
That's right,
yes. Which leads me to ask, I mean, what is there a significance to this title?
Well, I developed the idea that art didn't have to be something very large and monumental. It could actually be something quite small, like an insect bite. Small, apparently innocuous meeting, which becomes an infestation, enters the bloodstream, you know, the itch you've got to scratch. And I became interested in that idea. And
yeah.
The Seekers of Lice is actually the title of a Rambo poem.
Oh, right.
But it wasn't a direct connection with that. It was just, I was reading that at the same time. Seekers of Lice became a name for, connected with particular piece I was doing at the time, and then it stuck.
Right.
And people started referring to me as Seekers of Lice, as being the artist. So.
Okay. So, are you a seeker of lice, or are you a louse?
I think I'm both.
Okay, but the idea of a louse is something. What it gets under the skin, and it is sort of parasitic. Would that be fair?
Well, yes, it sucks your blood, but, you know, it might actually then pass your blood on to somebody else.
Uh-huh.
Cross-infection, all sorts of things going on
there. Right, okay. So, are you actually a fine artist or a poet? Or does it not matter?
I'm working somewhere in between words and objects. So
yeah.
I do make things, I do installations, I also write and have published books.
Yeah. And so you've chosen to use words as your medium, words and texts, or
yeah, as
right.
well as other things. So they've become part of it. I started using words as originally regarding words as objects, in the same way that other things could be seen as objects, other things I was working with. Paper, wax, all sorts of everyday things, and I was just using words as another material.
Okay.
I started off putting them in boxes as word lists along with other things, and just seeing what happens when you put the words next to objects. And since then, I suppose the writing has developed more perhaps towards poetry. So those two things are going on at the same time now.
Yeah. How long have you been doing it for, roughly?
A couple of years now.
All right. Okay. And have you been influenced by concrete poetry, do you think? Or?
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
I think I read a lot of poetry. And I think there is quite a lot of crossover between concrete poetry and art. And that's an area I'm certainly interested in.
Yeah. I mean, the first time I came across your work, I work in a bookshop.
Yes.
And you approach the bookshop,
yes,
with this idea of supplying us with paper bags.
Yes.
And I think you approached various other outlets with the same idea.
That's right.
And I sort of agreed to it. I said, well, I think this is a nice idea. We can have these paper bags on the counter. They're quite... And then they arrived. We sort of said, yeah, let's go for it. Seekers of Lice, paper bags, we'll do this. And they arrived in sort of bundles of, what are they, in 1,000 or 100?
100, yes.
100,
yes.
Sort of with material around them.
Yeah.
And they're like, they're sort of like old-fashioned sweet shop bags, aren't
That's
they?
That's right. Just very plain white paper bags.
Yeah. But the difference is that... each one is unique in that you have written on each bag, I presume. They're not printed,
yes.
are
no,
they?
No, they're all written.
They're handwritten,
yes,
in quite a large style of writing.
Yes.
And I think you supplied us with 1,000 bags.
Yeah, actually 500. I did, to be precise, 499.
Okay.
There were 10 lots of 499.
Right.
So 4,990 were distributed.
But each one is different because you've handwritten on each one.
Yes.
And each one is numbered.
Yes.
And the outlet has the option, or had the option, of having their name on it. So ours all happen to say Marcus Campbell Art Books.
That's right, yes.
Which you also had to handwrite.
Yes. So not everybody chose that option, so...
Right. So that must have been a hell of a task to do, to produce all of these bags. How many did you do altogether?
Well, I did the whole lot. I've still got a couple of hundred at home, I think, but
right.
Most of them have been distributed, yes.
Okay. Yeah. And on the bag, it's always... actually, I've got some with me here. I'll produce... Okay, I've got a handful here. The first one says, well or wart, dung or shanty, fraction or quiver, humid or deep, salt or skin, and so on. Each bag has an option.
Yeah.
It's one word or the other.
Yes. Well, the series was called Quandaries.
All right.
So, as you say, it's everything is or, but not in the usual, you know, hot or cold, cat or dog. They were
right.
Chosen for alliteration, rhyme, half rhyme, generally non-logical pairings, and just to do with associations and sound. And
so is it random? I mean, how do you arrive at the combinations, or would that be telling?
It's difficult to say. I mean, some things, you know, other people might say, how about this one, and then I would say, well, no, that's not quite fitting into my idea of what they should be like.
So are they just, you don't use a dictionary or anything?
No.
Okay.
No.
Or a computer?
No.
So it's completely from your own, it's whatever word comes to your mind.
Yes, and also from things you're reading will spark things off, or things you see, or things people say. And then, I don't know, when I'm involved in a particular piece, particular work, I find that I very much tune into it so that you're seeing, you know, you're talking to people and you're listening to things and you pick up what's useful for whatever you're doing.
Right.
And you tune into a very specific way of looking at things and listening to things.
Hmm.
So I'll be waking, you know, going off to sleep and then suddenly think, oh, yeah, that would do really well. So I have to get up write it down before it's forgotten.
So you might produce them in a burst then. You might produce, say, 50 and then...
Oh, well, maybe not 50, but perhaps, you know, three or four
right.
at a time. I collected them over some time.
Do you make lists generally and then transpose them to the bags, or did you decide to do the bags?
No, with those I collected the whole lot I was going to use before I started on the bags.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So you had a collection of words.
Yes, I mean, it was specifically, by then the project had sort of crystallised, so I knew what I was collecting them for, but I decided on the number, 499, and so... I don't think I started writing them until I got the whole lot done, and then I started writing them.
Right. And do you think your practice comes from does it come from a sort of concrete poetry background, or is it more from conceptual art, or neither? Or
I think it's probably somewhere in the middle.
Okay. But did you go to art school?
I did an English degree.
Ah. Right. Oh, okay. All right. So it's a literary kind of backing or background to this practice, but it's become more like fine art, hasn't it, really?
Well, I've always made things from being, you know, a very small child. Making things and reading were the two things I've done throughout my life, and, you know, they've come together.
Yeah. So when you were studying literature, did you have it in mind to do another kind of writing? Were you doing sort of... writing a novel, perhaps?
No, in fact, the writing has come very much out of the art rather than the other way around. I mean, I was working in art, and then the writing and the words have come out of that rather than straight from studying literature.
Right. I mean, the thing that struck me most about the bags was the sort of ephemeral nature of it.
Mm.
In fact, when we had them on the counter in the shop... obviously, you could only get very small books in the bags. What's the measurement? Do you know?
10 inch square.
10 inches square.
Yes.
So obviously, most most books we wouldn't fit into the bag, but we could get small books into the bag. And some people would be delighted to get, you know, to be able to put their book in such a bag and walk off with it. But there is the question of the extreme ephemerality of it, in that obviously it's going to leave the shop and, well, who knows what would happen to it. I suppose it might get recycled. They might. Do you like the idea of them maybe turning up in years to come somewhere?
Well, that would be interesting. I like the idea that, first of all, when I was doing this, I was interested in systems of dispersal and how you could circulate art. And that was a very simple way of doing it, that I made them, other people distributed them for me.
Right.
And it was a way of getting to quite a lot of people. And then if people were interested, fine. You know, if they didn't, you know, were not interested, didn't like it, thought it was pointless or whatever, they could just throw it away, use it as a bag, throw it away, fine.
Yeah.
And I like that idea that it was, people could take it or leave it. And
right. So it's a kind of different kind of distribution.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, I mean, to have them in a bookshop where obviously most of the words are, well, 99.9% of the words are contained within a book.
Yes.
To then come across these statements on paper bags in this way, it is quite a nice way to be, to involve yourself with words. But, I mean, have you been involved with artists' book fairs or anything like that? As an outlet, you know, as an alternative outlet?
No, I haven't done that yet. No, I haven't. No. I've got books in the Book Art Bookshop in Hoxton.
Right.
But I've not been to any artist book fairs as a, you know, seller
and that's,
yet.
That's an exhibition that runs at the moment, isn't it?
That's right, yes.
So that's the Book Art Bookshop on Pitfield Street.
Yes.
London, N1.
Yeah.
And you've got an exhibition there of your books and... I haven't seen it yet, I'm afraid. You
might
have to...
Well, in the window, there's a collection of boxes with different objects and text.
Right.
So that the handmade cardboard boxes, the lid has got text in it, and the box has got objects in, various things, all made from very ordinary materials, cardboard, wax, paper, wood, wire.
Yeah. And how long does that run for, that show?
That's on till next Friday, the 20th.
Oh, okay. And I think they're only open something like Wednesday to Saturday, aren't they?
Yeah.
What's happening?
Yes. But they've got a website, so you can look them up.
Okay. So that's the Book Art Bookshop. And do you ever use another name apart from Seekers of Lice? I mean, so far, I mean, this is the first time I've met you.
Yeah.
And at the moment, I only know you as Seekers of Lice.
Yes.
Do we get a name, or is that you prefer to?
For work, it's Seekers of Lice. Yes.
Fair enough. Yeah. All right. So we'll leave it at that then. Now, I mean, you also sent me various cards sort of after this, because I presume I was sort of then known as a sort of distributor of sorts, and one of them was particularly interesting. It comes on a piece of, looks like recycled cardboard. It must be a piece of a cardboard box.
Yes.
With a yellow sort of, what colour is that? Is that chrome yellow? Perhaps
remember.
It doesn't matter. It's a deep yellow square painted with sort of hand painted. You can see the brush strokes. And that's what, maybe 2 inches square, 3 inches square maybe.
I think it's 2 inches by 3 inches.
2 inches by 3 inches on the card. And there are sort of instructions on it. To be put in place and left to the tide at 1 o'clock, Saturday the 20th of December, the Thames foreshore opposite Tate Modern. And it says foreshore, precarious to Rapunzel.
Mm.
So what was the... I mean, I kept mine. I got the impression that actually the intention was that people who received one of these should go to the banks of the Thames and leave the little painting to be washed away.
Well, actually, that was an invitation to come along and see what was going on there. And actually, on that day, I put in place 210 cards, all with different texts on, they all had yellow painting on the other side, oil paint. very similar to that one in size. Mm. And they were put in small plastic bags, pegged to a line, which was attached to poles, which I put up on the foreshore there. And that was left then to the tide. And then it was the next day I went to have a look at what was there and took some photographs of what was left. Mm. And it was, as you might imagine, it had all been knocked over. But there were a surprising number of the bags and postcards still there. It was interesting to see what had happened to them. A lot of the bags had filled with water, so that the text was all quite... You could still read the text, but it was distorted by being read through the water. And all sorts of different... They were grouped together or in sort of different lumps and tangles hanging from a metal post in the wall and lying on the beach. And it was interesting to see what had happened. I quite like the idea of setting something up and then leaving it to nature, really.
Right. So, again, it's this idea of letting things just be distributed at random.
Yes, yes.
Almost carried away, possibly to be, well, to never be seen again.
Well, that's right. When that night, after they were set up at about lunchtime, 1 o'clock, I think it was, and then the high tide was... That night, I can't remember exactly what time, but I came back expecting to find that they were just about to disappear underwater, but in fact the tide was faster than I expected.
All right.
So it was completely dark, completely black water, and it was rather strange to think that was could have been the last I'd ever see of any of it, which, you know, taken quite a lot of work to create. But then, you know, the next day went down and, you know, there was something there, yes.
It would have been quite nice to film it, actually, but or would you?
I've
would
got
you,
quite lots of photographs.
You have.
Yeah.
I was going to say you might not like the idea of having a permanent trace of it. Perhaps you would prefer it to have no record.
Well, I did actually retrieve a few of the cards, but to say I left most of what was there in case somebody comes along, you know, can still see it and take one if they want to.
Right. And then I've got a few other things. This one is called Triangulation Point.
Yeah.
Is that like origami? Is it folded into a sort of transparent pouch or bag or handmade? Again, that looks like a sort of one-off thing to me. Did you make a series of those?
Well, I made... those were sent out to notify people about something I was doing, which was... those are actually made of paper bags.
Ah, right.
So
right.
Paper bags, leftover paper bags.
Yeah, yeah.
those were smaller bags, 7-inch square, folded into origami birds. I mean, it's a very classic origami thing. Anybody who can do origami can make one of those birds. And then they were stamped with a line from Sappho, actually. Mm. And I did some boxes with 100 of these in and just left them. One was left in Bristol and one was left in London, quite near Whitechapel Gallery in a little park there. And I did actually see what happened to that one. Quite a few people came along and, you know, had a look, took one. There was an invitation to take one if you wanted.
Whereabouts in the park were they?
There's a sort of... tomb there, and they were on the steps of the tomb.
Right.
But by the path where people, so there's quite a lot of people walking backwards and forwards. Mm. And, you know, I saw people stop, take one, have a look, or watch what was going on. And anyway, I went away for a bit, and when I came back, I was just in time to see the refuse collector pick up the numbers
on the left. Oh my God.
And put them in a black bag. And into the back of the bin lorry.
Okay.
Right.
So that was the end of those.
Yes.
All right. So now you've produced a series of books, and these are... Actually, I don't know which way around this one goes. This is called Quat.
Yeah.
And these are texts printed on semi-transparent paper.
Yes.
So that when you're looking at the text, you can sort of see... the text beyond, probably to about 3 pages deep.
Yes.
They all tend to be lists, almost. I mean, it's not written as poetry, is it? It's not certainly not straightforward poetry.
No.
And it's, is there a name for this kind of writing, or do you think you've invented this?
I don't know there's a name for it. What I was interested to do with this one was to create a text which wasn't actually linear, that wasn't sort of starting at the left-hand side, moving across to the right and down the page. I wanted to make something that was where all the text sort of interacted and all existed as much together as I could get it, so that it's laid out in three columns, but the columns can also be read across, and that there is some sort of... It's not all control. There is a chance element in it,
right?
As to
but
how
again, how would you arrive at these texts? Because it's I mean, there's pages and pages of texts with just, I don't know. I suppose I'd have to ask you. So, do you want to read a bit out, or
okay, I can.
Could you read
that.
Just a maybe a I don't know one page maybe?
Okay.
To give people an idea of what one page of the text of this book would be.
Right, you choose a page then.
Oh, well, they're not numbered, are they? So it's a bit tricky.
Maybe you pass it
over. What about this one that starts with Holden?
Okay. Holden, holded, holding, hold all, no hold, held, hold fast, holder, hold, wrestle, still hold, still hold still. True hold, hold more, hold ever. Held hold, hell hold, hold whore, hold world, held up, held down. Tame, sweet, a point, end game. Linean, apostrophe, archilocus, beatific, as if, as, arsi, versi, groin, waist, tryst, trance. In the evening, she comes into her room and tells her stories of things she's seen on television. What did Ariadne dream of? Where it comes from? We could be strangers to one another. Tell me your life story, where you were born, how old are you? Have you any children? Are you married? He said. In comparison to the stories, the television is pale and slow. A ticket marks the place. A fog like spider's webs. To fail to keep in sight. A body in space, a colour in space, a space in space, of space. By with from, quasi loophole, a knothole, spy hole in the fence. When we went out, the cherry blossom was out. The sun is not out. Sun won, cherry blossom nil. Yellow was the answer when. I'm beside her, I'm beside myself. The stuff is in flitters. It's a simultaneous liquefying and hardening. Materialism is a romance. Microfilm is a romance. Usually we sometimes... is probable. Go get, fret, yet. Will we be back in time?
Thank you. So that's one page from Quat, which is an edition of, I don't know, it's an artist book. Should we call it an artist book or not?
You can do.
Yeah. And that, is there an edition size of this?
Yes, 200.
200. All right. We're getting to the end of the programme again. And our guest this week is Seekers of Lice, exhibiting at the Book Art Bookshop for, another week or so?
That's right, yes.
All right, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you for inviting me.
And we'll play out with some music.
Postmodernité, ouvert au transcendant, à la spiritualité, à l'ego. Rejet du matérialisme, recherche de la communauté, ne sont pas orientés vers la vérité. Nihiliste avec le sourire, plus aucun sens mais rigolade, rien de certain. Ironie, cynisme, pas de place pour l'espoir et un but. Peut choisir sa propre identité, homosexualité, bisexualité. Pas de critères hors de soi. Pas de vérité sauf la sienne. Péché et mal n'existent pas. Pas d'absolu, à part le relativisme et le pluralisme. « 15 mars 96. cherche du travail en Suisse, sans doute aide infirmier, faute de mieux. Utilise cette situation pour le guérir, lui ouvrir les yeux sur son vécu et ses comportements, l'amener à ses limites. Recherche d'aide pour mûrir. Phil, à nouveau à Neuchâtel à la recherche d'un travail pour l'été. Sois à ses côtés, ouvre et ferme les portes, Seigneur. Protège-le des plans de destruction de son ennemi. Ton sang sur lui le cache du destructeur. Olivier a rêvé de Philippe la nuit passée. Il partait comme missionnaire avec d'autres dans un pays lointain. Son nom était affiché au panneau de départ. Olivier a prié pour lui. Était-ce prophétique, Seigneur ? Je pense que Philippe a essayé, et réessayé encore par ses propres forces de changer ses faiblesses pour plaire à Dieu et à abandonner le guerre-là, alors que son problème fondamental est sans doute celui de la honte. Fais-le lui comprendre, s'il te plaît, toi, Seigneur. Hier, j'ai passé 2 heures avec Philippe à Lausanne. Il me parlait de ses lectures sur la sorcellerie indienne. Intéressé par son obsession de contrôle et de la peur de se faire contrôler. Seigneur, tu sais dans quel danger il se met par là. Protège-le, je te prie, de Satan. Rends-le insatisfait. September 6. Je partage à la librairie mes craintes au sujet de Philippe dans l'occultisme. X me dit qu'elle croit à la protection par la prière. Elle-même a bénéficié de celle de sa grand-mère. Enfant, elle était entraînée à expérimenter la planche Ouija, mais un malaise l'obligea à s'éloigner de cette séance. Lors d'un accouchement, elle a fait appel à un hypnotiseur, mais elle doit écourter la séance, ne se sentant pas bien. 27 octobre 96. Je ressens à nouveau ma responsabilité face aux blessures de Philippe qui, pour le moment, est endormi, emmuré. J'ai peur pour son deuxième mariage. Merci Seigneur pour ton amour qui veut l'arracher à lui-même. 27 octobre 96. J'ai écrit une lettre de demande de pardon à Philippe suite à la lecture d'une annuaire sur les dérèglements alimentaires. Convulsion. 4 novembre 96. Il n'est plus lui transmettre. Ce n'était sans doute pas encore le moment du Seigneur. Je vais la montrer à la psy pour ma dernière visite chez elle mercredi. Finalement, non. Je proclame ta victoire au sein de la vie ténébreuse de Philippe, de son cause. Je défais l'ennemi. Il est sous mes pieds. Je triomphe de toutes les puissances des ténèbres qui veulent détruire la vie de Philippe. Merci pour tes anges qui le gardent tout le temps et la puissance de la lumière, infiniment plus grande que les puissances des ténèbres pour éclairer ces ténèbres. Ma victoire et celle des miens est assurée. 16 décembre 96. Je te prie pour la protection de Philippe contre l'occultisme, par manque de puissance et de pouvoir. Et je reçois Marc 14:33. Soyez sur vos gardes, veillez de peur d'être trouvés en mort. 7 avril 1927. Yann Pitt en priant pour Philippe. Lazare, sors. Hier soir, avons prié Béatrice et moi pour couper les liens occultes entre Philippe et sa grand-mère à sa présentation. Juin 1927. Seigneur, pardon de ne jamais avoir pensé à te confier les besoins affectifs ou complets de Philippe pour que tu t'en charges. J'ai préféré me punir en me culpabilisant et en peinant, ce qui ne servait à rien pour Philippe. Je te demande de protéger Philippe pour le jour où tu le visiteras et où il se laissera visiter par toi.
Resonance 104.4 FM, the art of listening.
Resonance FM shed too much murder in our community, it must stop. I don't see other races killing up themselves just the black people who won clock. We're not the maker of guns, so why should we hold one? We need to build up our brother man and stop this self-destruction. Youth man, open up your eyes. Everything televised is lies. But not all things, some things true. Just don't depend on it to tell you what to do. It's a freestyle for the leader. Peace up to the UK lyrical healer. Our intellect is not only for readers. Our music hit the people with the heater. In every strata we bound to connect. From the people to the drug house to the internet. From the smart one with the book knowledge, high tech, to the middle class, walking fast for the cash, to the impoverished, we take them out of it, free of their mind, so in life they can battle it. The UK has got a queen, the healer is what I mean, spreading truth and righteousness. Big up yourself. Yeah, Ricardo Glock from the 242 Bahamas, straight to the UK. The Lyrical Healer, UK, you better recognize you got a gem, a darling, a healer, blazing truth and righteousness, yeah.
That's the delightful Ricardo Clark, the 242 Bahamas dub. I always love hearing that to start my show. It's absolutely amazing. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Clear Spot. This is Lyrical Healer. You will have me for the next hour. I'm really excited to be here. We've got so much for you. Honestly, we've got loads. First of all, I must say happy International Women's Month to all the lovely young ladies out there. It's just such a beautiful time to celebrate our womanhood. So I'm really excited for lots of reasons, but just because the sun's shining. So that's always nice, isn't it, to have the sun shining. So stick with us. We're going to have a fantastic show today. And also, if you're celebrating St. Patrick's Day, happy St. Patrick's Day to you too. We can't forget you out there either. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm just so excited. I can tell you that we have the lovely Angela Mar in the building, and we're going to be talking to her a little bit later on and finding out all the wonderful stuff that she's been doing for the last, let's say, couple of months or beginning of the year, or I haven't seen her for ages. So I'm really excited about that. And I just want you to sit tight and enjoy the show. Take it easy. Big up to all the silent listeners out there too. So, you know, here we give... We give UK music the first play. And the reason why we do that is because we love UK artists. So we're going to kick off the show with a wonderful, fabulous young lady called Karen Tomlin.
See how she shakes her hips down the street. She's got the boom boom. Car stall and tyres screech. She's got the bum bum with a long wavy hair and her pearly white teeth. She's got the bum bum and I can't hear the smile and her legs that go on and on.